Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 383 of Geektown Radio. I am back this week with...
To infinity and beyond!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, what have you been up to the last few weeks?
Well, a TV show I'm continuing to watch. I try to think about sometimes what's the best current show on TV. Obviously, you've got different things like we get box sets released of TV shows, but then you get your weekly ones from like, you know, Sky/HBO, or you get your Apple TV shows. I'd probably put that to Barry at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's had episode 6 is out today, but I haven't seen that one yet. I think it's got 8 for the season, which is the final season. Can't really talk too much about like what's going on in the show because there's some big spoilery stuff that's been happening, but they did some interesting time kind of things on there, but still continues to just be really, really good and is yet another one of those shows as an example of, you know, how prestige you can make a show in just 30 minutes or 35 at a stretch, and just have things, you know, quick and clean and very well paced and intense. It's still just, you know, good old Barry. There's some interesting twists and turns with a couple of characters, a few choices the characters are making, and we're getting to that point as well because we're getting near the end game. Certain characters are making end game type of choices, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
So that's been very, very interesting. And there's, again, a couple of timey-wimey, not sort of Doctor Strange type of things, but yeah. Some timey-wimey things that are going on in a show that is very interesting. I think I saw last night, Alan Sepinwall posted his review for this week's episode. Obviously, he gets screeners and that type of stuff for most shows. And saw a couple of comments about like, oh, the show's gone a bit weird and that kind of stuff, which is the first of those types of comments I'd seen this season. I've also seen similar comments about Ted Lasso, about how it's like completely fallen off, and I don't really understand that, but
right,
it's fine,
yeah.
I suppose. A couple of shows that have gone interesting ways, you know, critically, if you want to call that, but no, it's still just excellent. I'm very curious to see where they're going with this other part that they've introduced and where that's kind of going, and then how that relates back to what was going on before. So I've been very much enjoying that. What have you sort of, you know, seen about the show and that kind of stuff?
Other than it's got a lot of critical acclaim and, you know, it's sort of a drama masquerading as a comedy, as I've sort of seen it presented. It's not something that I've actually picked up yet. And it's one of those that I think I'm going to wait until it all ends and then just kind of binge my way through it. I think, you know, at this point, I may as well do that. Mm. I know it's been going down very well. It's interesting hearing those sort of comments about the final season. I mean, sometimes they do go off in odd directions for last seasons of shows.
I think it's maybe they've attempted something currently, and although you think it's going in a direction, there's a certain amount of uncertainty just because you don't know what the results are going to be of that. And sometimes audiences don't quite like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But some shows pull it off very, very well. So yeah, that's got, yeah, just 3 episodes left. I'm very curious to see. So that's about an hour and a half. Very curious to see where that's gonna go. The other thing I've been doing, took me quite a long time to get through. I watched Kadikarus, who's a YouTuber. I've chosen him once for one of my Month of Positive Creators episodes. So how his format works is he works on like one big video per month. And when he has like, you know, some free time and stuff, or a new game comes out that he's curious about, his patrons like vote on one or two games and it sort of goes from there. So I've been playing through that and there was like quite a lot of it. One of the reasons it took quite long to get through At the very, because you can't change difficulty on this game, because some games you can do that.
Ah.
And because he's very familiar with the original, it's the Resident Evil 4. He went, oh yeah, he just sort of on a whim in the moment, and you could tell he regretted it immediately. He was like, oh yeah, I know Resident Evil 4, I'll play it on hardcore. and he died quite a few times.
Yes.
Because so, in order to change the difficulty, you have to start the game again. And right. He's not going to do that when he's, you know, doing a stream and stuff. So there's other elements as well, like in this one, you've got Ashley to take care of. She's basically, the premise is it's, you know, silly Resident Evil, but the president's daughter, who's called Ashley, is in danger, and you as Leon, like this, you know, trained military guy, are sent to save her. And you have to sort of, you know, like those escort missions on games, and you have to sort of, oh, she's in trouble, you have to specifically get rid of the guy that's picked her up or something before he takes her off screen, and you fail that part. So there was lots of that. And from what I understand and from what I've seen, it's a bit frustrating. So, but they've added a couple of controls. Like I think you can make it so she's like closer to you, or so she's like separates herself a bit, just so right. You can manage that a bit more. There was one point, actually, I think it was in one of the middle of his streams. He was trying to snipe this enemy from really far away. Ashley was like trying to duck. And I think he pressed the control for like loose interaction. So she would be, you know, go away from him a bit more, and she walked right into the line of fire, and he shot her, and I think it's rare that can happen, but still. So that was kind of fun to go through. That's taken up quite a bit of time this week, but because I finished Dead Space, that's basically what happened. I finished Dead Space. I really, really, really enjoyed that a lot. Went to play Resident Evil 4, and basically I was playing a bit of Resident Evil 4, then watching a bit of him play it, and then realized, okay, I'm just getting much more out of the experience of watching him, so I'm not going to play the game, and then I'm going to watch him just play the rest of it. So that's so basically the Resident Evil 4 time that I would have put in, I was watching him play it instead. So but that was good fun to finish that now. So any thoughts on Resident Evil?
No, I mean, it's not my sort of game, really. I don't really do those horror games. The only real experience I've had of that is I think recorded some stuff with the voice actors when they've done panels, MCM and some of the other Comic Cons. Nick and Genevieve, who play Leon and Ashley in that, have done a number of the panels. So that's really my only experience of the Resident Evil games. I think I might have played the first one when it originally came out years and years ago, and that's about it. You know, I don't really do sort of horror games particularly.
Especially that type of horror where it's like, you know, tentacles coming out of people's heads and things
just
like that.
Not so, my thing, really. So
other than that, obviously there's a bunch of football at the moment. Just an update on that if you're all curious. Southampton got relegated at the weekend. Ooh. So now it will either be Everton, Leicester, probably not Nottingham Forest, or Leeds. Obviously there's two more relegation spots left. Everton, I think, are right down there, which would be a big surprise in that.
Yeah.
They've been in the Premier League for years. Leicester, who won the league, I think, in 2015-16.
Yes.
They actually won it before Liverpool did. and Man City basically won the league because Arsenal lost, and Man City won again. Haaland's got 36 goals in the league. Yeah, we're getting towards that point of the season as well. So cool, that's what I've been up to. David, how about yourself?
Continuing TV, Citadel and Silo are the two that I'm mainly watching at the moment. Citadel I'm really enjoying. It's kind of big and dumb and fun. As I said last week, it's kind of Richard Madden's Bond audition tape, that show. It's a wonderfully fun, silly, sort of over-the-top action-adventure, Pierce Brosnan kind of 90s Bond level silly. Very, very enjoyable, that. Silo, which is on Apple TV+, really interesting sort of dystopian drama about this group of people that are trapped inside this silo, and they're not entirely sure why they were there, but they're told the outside is all horrible, and that's why they have to stay in the silo, and it seems that possibly might not be the case. That, I think, has been a really, really interesting show as well. They're both ongoing series. Citadel's on Prime Video and Silo's on Apple. Have you been watching either of those?
I've seen a poster for Citadel, and that's it. I know you've spoken about it before, and Silo I nearly started, but I just didn't quite get around to doing that. So I'm very curious about Silo.
Yeah, Silo's definitely worth picking up. Really well written, well put together. I think it's an adaptation of the book series, up there with the sort of high quality Apple TV shows, and they do that dystopian drama thing very, very well. Those are the sort of two ongoing shows I'm watching at the moment. Gaming wise, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, I'm finally, after, well, it was released what, a month ago, something like that, finally actually able to play it, because it's finally been patched. It was still crashing after the patch, but weirdly, the graphics settings tell you to turn ray tracing off. If you turn ray tracing on, it actually works much better. I think there's a bug in the graphics system to do with the ray tracing. And if you actually leave the ray tracing on, regardless of what your graphics card is, it does seem to run better with that on than it does off. I'm about 13 hours into that. Basically a continuation of the first game. It starts off with you following Cal, although he's now with a different group of people. The group that he was with at the end of the first game have sort of gone off in all their separate directions. The initial bit is kind of a mission that they're on to Coruscant. So you get to see sort of Coruscant in all its glory, which is really, really spectacular. It then moves on to you meeting up with some of the old faces for the first game, as well as introducing a bunch of new people as well. It's got a sort of feeling of the kind of, you know, Mass Effect 2, whereas there's some of your sort of old crew around, but you're also introducing new crew members. There's a certain amount of that going on. Once you get over that, the initial sort of introduction arc, it drops you on a planet, and that planet appears to be sort of a central hub at the moment. I don't know how long it stays like that because I'm still playing around in that area, but they've got things like there's animal mounts you can ride, which I don't think were in the first game. All the lightsaber stuff works really, really well. Generally pretty enjoyable. Storyline is pretty solid. Tweaks here and there to how the combat system works, but you know, flows very, very nicely. Talking of you changing the difficulty level, you can actually do that on the fly in this game, because there was one particular monster I came across and I kept on getting killed by it. So I just set it to story mode, and the story mode basically removes any challenge out of the combat at all. And it's like, you can pretty much like one strike or two strike any enemy completely dead. So I was just like, look, I just want to get past this and go on to like the next bit of the story. So I ended up flipping it into story mode, killing that, and then flipping it back into like the Jedi mode again afterwards to get past that particular bit. So I rather like that, when you can actually change the level whilst you're actually playing. It's quite useful. But yeah, now they have got some of the issues sorted out with it. The game overall, I think, does deserve a lot of the kind of 90% and stuff it's been getting. It's just, I wish they hadn't released it in such a broken state when they'd first released it. You've not picked this up yet, have you?
No, I've not got to it yet, but I'm excited to do so still. Mm-hmm. I'll be on PS5 for it. I don't know what the status of the issues are on that. I know that PC was worse or something.
I think the console versions had issues, but were nowhere near as bad to the level of the PC version.
Yeah.
But it is running okay on PC for me. It's still not the best frame rate, but you know, it's certainly playable, which is good. In terms of new TV shows, two from Disney Plus this time around. They've actually been out for a little while, but I've only just got around to picking them up. One is Not Dead Yet. Not Dead Yet is a really interesting idea for a TV show, and it drops you into it fairly, fairly quickly. It is a sitcom. It follows a newspaper writer called Nell, and the basic opening headline, which they give you straight away, is that she had left a job 5 years ago working at this newspaper. She was on a pretty reasonable trajectory. She followed a boy to the UK, and her relationship with him has completely fallen apart. So she's come back to the US and gets a job back at her old newspaper. But the only job that she can get there is writing obituaries. So she gets stuck on this sort of beat of like writing these obituaries. And for reasons which haven't been explained at all, she starts seeing the people who she's writing the obituaries about. Their ghosts start haunting her. It becomes a sort of ghost of the week thing, where each week the ghost is haunting her. Once she writes the actual obituary, the ghost disappears, and then you have a new ghost for the next episode. It's got Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin plays the lead in it, and she's great, plays a wonderful sort of slight nerdy role in there. It's fun, it's funny, it's quite sweet, and really quite enjoyable. Worth going to pick up if you've not checked it out yet. The other one that I watched is Will Trent. Stars Ramon Rodriguez, who has been in things like The Wire and Iron Fist, follows Special Agent Will Trent, who works at the Georgia Bureau of Investigations. His sort of background is that he was abandoned at birth and endured the harsh coming of age in Atlanta's overwhelming foster care system. He then goes on later in life to George Bureau of Investigations and is determined to use his unique point of view to make sure nobody is abandoned like he was, and has the highest clearance rate in the GBI. There are elements of sort of Sherlock Holmes to that character in that he's highly perceptive and sees things that other people don't. It's also, he's not liked very much by the rest of the police force in Georgia because he has just taken down a bunch of corrupt cops. So they've seen him as kind of a turncoat within the kind of overall police force. So you've got that sort of antagonism thing going on as well. He's partnered up with somebody who it turns out that her mother was one of the people that was caught up in the in that corruption case. So there's a lot of sort of butting heads there. One of those shows that I've only watched the opening episode so far, and I think there is potential there for it to be quite an interesting series. If you like things like Bull or Rookie, it's that sort of dramedy mix of comedy and drama, I think. But I rather enjoyed the opening episode of that, so I think I will go and watch a bit more of it. Both of those worth checking out if you've not looked at those yet. In terms of other things this week, it was Wales Comic Con this weekend, so I had really good fun. It was really great con. I know there were some issues behind the scenes with queues and photo ops, and from reading the boards, I know things got delayed and moved around. Not entirely the fault of Wales Comic Con. There was, of course, a train strike this weekend, which apparently meant that the crew, who are all volunteers, half the crew couldn't get there. So they were really understaffed. And I know there are sometimes issues with photos anyway and people running long and things. It's also to do with the guest list this time around as well, because they had a few really big names and things just got overrun and all that sort of stuff. So there were some issues on that side of things. I need to acknowledge that. But overall, the con itself, I think I had a really, really good time. And I mean, it was only really problems if you're queuing for autographs or photos, I think. Because the main thing I go to Wales Comic Con for is for panels. I turn up, sit in the panel room and wait to be told whether I'm allowed to record the panels or not. So some of them I am allowed to record and some of them I'm not. One of them was for Smallville. It was Kirsten Crook who played Lana on Smallville, and she was lovely and did sort of half an hour panel. So that is now up on our YouTube channel. You can go and check that out. There was a panel with some of the Supernatural people. It ended up being Mark Shepherd and Samantha Smith. But Mark's obviously Crowley. Samantha plays Mary Winchester in the main show. They were fabulous. I mean, Mark is always brilliant, but that whole panel, it's about an hour long and wonderful. So really go and check that one out. It was supposed to have Genevieve and Jared Padalecki in that as well. And I'm not sure why Genevieve wasn't up there. I think she may have gone home ill that day. Jared, I kind of suspected this was the reason, but I went downstairs afterwards to go and check out the main floor where they do all the signing and stuff. And Jared's queue, they have two big halls, and Jared's queue was literally half of one of the halls. Poor lad was apparently there. The show closed at 6 and he was there until 7 p.m. that night signing autographs, apparently. So such is the love for Jared and Supernatural still. It was really great. And I mean, he was apparently really lovely to people, but yes, he was very, very kind of just inundated with signing. There was a panel for Vikings, which was Lucy Martin, who played Ingrid, Clive Standen, who played Rollo, and Jordan Patrick Smith, who played Ubi. They were great. And if you're into Vikings, that one hasn't gone up just yet, but by the time this goes out, it should be up. So there's that one. There was a panel with Firefly as well, which was Nathan Fillion, Jules Sate, and Sean Marlar. I have got about half of that panel on video. There was a bit of a miscommunication about whether we were allowed to film that panel or not. It turns out press were, even though the general public weren't. But I actually got asked halfway around by a crew member that didn't know that to turn the camera off. So I've got sort of half the panel on video, but I've got the whole audio of it. So I'm going to try and cobble cut something together for that, so that goes up. I also got the Cosplay Masquerade as well, so there should be a video for that going up. There were panels for Flash Gordon, which was Brian Blessed, which I actually probably could have recorded, but decided not to because I've recorded Brian twice before. And if you've never seen Brian Blessed talk, go and watch him because the man's a national treasure and he's fantastic. The only issue is his stories are basically identical from show to show. So once you've recorded it a couple of times, there's not really much need to do it again. So he was brilliant. I did actually watch like half of that panel, but it's the same story is kind of remixed at a slightly different order. Didn't record that one. There was a Harry Potter panel with Oliver and James Phelps and Bonnie Wright, who are basically the Weasley kids. They were brilliant. And that was a wonderful panel. They have a huge hall where they do these talks, and it was absolutely rammed. I mean, if you ever wanted evidence for why Warner Brothers want to make that Harry Potter TV series.
Yeah.
I mean, you just needed to look at that room. The other panels, you know, there's a sort of row of sort of flat seats, and then there's a sort of tiered set of seats at the back. And quite often there'll be a few people in the tiered seats, but, you know, mainly it will be just flat sort of rows at the front. And then you got to the Harry Potter panel, and it was, I mean, same with the Supernatural panel, actually. I mean, it was just like rammed right up to the back. But they were great. And I mean, Oliver and James were wonderful. I rather suspect that the reason that they didn't want that one filming was just in case anybody threw in a question about J.K. Rowling.
Right.
I don't know that for a fact, but that would sort of make sense.
See, the thing with that is what you just mentioned. While I fully agree with what you just said about like the popularity and the fan base and stuff, and obviously the games just come out, which doesn't even have any of those characters in it, and a character that you yourself create. It's the love for that world and stuff. See, the double-edged sword part of that is because that cast is, you know, beloved. The issue you have there is, okay, yeah, you know, packed convention thing because people love all the cast and all that. The problem with the TV thing, okay, it's more Harry Potter stuff, but one of the beloved things about your films is the cast as those characters. And if you're recasting everybody, that won't work the same way. It will still be that world, which again is why the game did so well and stuff, because people, and obviously, you know, fans have been dreaming for that game for about, you know, 20 years or so. It's the same with, you know, you go back to the two guys from Supernatural, but let's say that got rebooted and all those, I know there's like fewer characters, but if the two guys got recast, it would kind of be, it doesn't have the same kind of effect, I suppose.
That is sort of true with Supernatural. It is, and as they proved with the various spin-offs and stuff, or attempts at doing spin-offs and things, Supernatural really is Jared and Jensen.
And
it's so much those two guys that it's very difficult to do anything with Supernatural that isn't those guys. And that's going to be the interesting thing with the new TV show with Harry Potter is if you can get the casting right, it could be amazing. But the problem is that...
Big challenge.
It is a huge challenge for them to do that. And I do get the understanding of why they want to make a TV show, because there is a lot missing from the films that was in the books, and you just couldn't fit it into like a 2.5 hour film. And when you're doing like, you know, if you're doing 10 hours of a season one of a TV show, you can fit a lot more of that book in. So I sort of get the reasoning behind it, but I think, as you say, they're instantly, whoever they cast is going to get compared to Daniel Radcliffe and to, you know, Oliver and James.
Yeah, the others,
And Bonnie, and
it's a bit the same with, let's say, like, the other examples is Back to the Future and Fools and Horses, like the two leads of those two. Imagine if you rebooted and recut like that. That's nearly unthinkable. If you had somebody, I mean, nobody as good as, you know, all the other actors are in the world, nobody else could play, you know, Delboy in the same way, or nobody else could play Doc in the same way on Back to the Future. There's a certain magic that, because I'm all for recasting in certain situations, like if an actor contract runs out, or like in the Batwoman situation, that type of thing. But anyway, we'll see what they do with this. So
But I mean, the panel with those, as I say, Oliver and James Phelps and Bonnie Wright for that, and all three of them were really just wonderful, gave some great answers. Unfortunately, weren't allowed to record that one. Also wasn't allowed to record the Doctor Who panel, which was Freema Agyeman, and I suspect that the reason that she didn't want that recording could very well have been to do with the 60th anniversary, because the inevitable question, I mean, somebody did throw the question of, are you going to be in the 60th anniversary? And the answer she gave was, I would say, unconvincingly evasive, with the way I put it. She was sort of stumbling over it, and it certainly wasn't a sort of outright no. It was more a kind of wait and see. And I think it's one of those situations where she may just be playing, but I wouldn't be entirely surprised if she happens to show up. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are a number of ex-companions that show up in that 60th anniversary.
Yeah, it's like a big episode.
It's three big episodes with the David Tennant returning ones. So it wouldn't shock me if we see Freema in those episodes, given how she was talking in that.
I haven't watched Doctor Who for a bit. Who does she play?
Freema was Martha back in David Tennant's days.
Okay, I can't quite think back to those days. But,
Martha was the companion after Rose.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I think I know who that is. Yeah, that was quite a long time ago.
Yeah. Freema, more recently, she's been on New Amsterdam. Yeah, I mean, the entire panel was about Doctor Who. And she was great. It was a really lovely, you know, panel for that. But again, wasn't allowed to record it. But yeah, there were, as I say, Smallville is up, Supernatural is up, Vikings should be up by the time this show goes out, and Firefly may or may not be up. I'm not entirely sure how well that's going to work yet, but we'll see. And there's also some stuff for the Cosplay Masquerade. So go and check out youtube.com/geektown for all that sort of stuff coming soon. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news. So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. And as we've been saying for a few weeks now, it's Bloodbath Week this week, or the end of last week was Bloodbath Week, which is traditionally what usually happens is you get to Thursday, Friday, and they cancel a whole bunch of TV shows. Weirdly, that didn't really happen this week. The reason that that happens is because they do what they call upfronts in America, which is when the five big main networks in the US take all their schedules for then the next season, so basically the fall and sort of winter season, and present them to the advertisers to try and get sort of advertising going for, you know, yeah, hey, this is all the new stuff we've got coming and what's returning and all that sort of stuff. So they've got a bunch of presentations over this coming week of all that, but that means they need to sort out what shows are renewed and cancelled before. Weirdly, the sort of mass cancellation event that we usually get didn't really happen. There was a number of things that were cancelled over last week, but it was more sort of let out over the course of the week rather than everything being dumped out on a Friday night, which is what has happened previously. So, in fact, the biggest cancellation that came last week wasn't from the main networks. It was from Netflix, and it was Lockwood & Co., which they cancelled after one season, basically claiming that the numbers weren't high enough. I mean, they even went as far as sort of, you know, people, there was reports saying that Netflix internally liked the show a lot, but the numbers weren't higher enough. I mean, it really did sound like its sort of algorithm says no, because it was liked by Netflix. I don't see how the numbers weren't high enough when literally every time Netflix renewed anything and they posted it to Twitter, there was always two or three comments underneath going, when are you renewing Lockwood & Co.? You know, I mean, it may have been the same people every time.
I saw something similar. I saw when they posted the Chicken Run cast for the new film, and there was 15 to 30 somewhere in that ballpark comments, and none of them about the actual casting. All of them were like GIFs or videos or YouTube videos or pictures of Lockwood & Co. with like, when are you renewing Lockwood & Co.? And I was like, oh, okay, so I knew it was like popular and stuff, but to basically going onto every Netflix post and, you know, posting that. So
yeah, it's weird. I don't understand how it can't have the numbers. I mean, it may be a very small but very vocal fan base, which, I mean, is entirely possible. But it's just very odd, you know, because as I said, the reports were that they liked it internally at Netflix. It just didn't have the numbers to continue. I mean, I suppose there were a lot of effects in it, so maybe it was more expensive than it possibly could have been. But it's an odd one. Circles back round to the old problem that we've been saying. Netflix has really dug itself into this hole of Netflix makes a show, they don't advertise it particularly well, or even when they do, people are now so suspicious of Netflix because of the fact that they've got this reputation for cancelling things. They don't start watching it until they know it's got a second season, and then that drives the numbers down, so it doesn't get the numbers that it probably should, and they end up cancelling it. So
they got themselves into a bad cycle, I would say. And the other one that I've mentioned before is cancelling a show that's popular, then making like roughly 10 other things that nobody ever hears about. Mm-hmm. And then, so that money then gets wasted when that money could have been put towards the other show. I mean, they've been a little bit better with it recently because they did renew, was it Diplomat and Night Agent?
Yeah.
They renewed those two, which I was actually sort of surprised by. And I thought, oh, well, maybe Netflix might like correct itself a bit. I mean, they can't cancel every single big show they have because they won't have any left.
Yeah.
So they do have to renew, you know, things now and again. But it seems that, say, take three shows, they renew two of them, you cancel one of them, the one show that you still cancel still continues to annoy people. So yeah, they gotta still do some course correcting. But I think it was you and Gray had said before about it. You know, the weeks had kept going on since they put this show out, and they hadn't said anything about it.
Yeah, and everybody that did see it seemed to say, "Oh, it's a really good show." And I mean, I really enjoyed it. Out of those teen magic drama things that they've been doing. Yeah, because they do an awful lot of them. I mean, it's fair to say. This, I thought, was really interesting. It was fun. It was funny. They've got a whole bunch of source material they can work off. Written by Joe Cornish, directed by him, I think, as well. They did a really good job in putting it together. And it's just a real shame because it was a decent show that's got canned because of numbers. Real pity, that one. But back to the US networks. As I say, although there wasn't a sort of single bloodbath night, there were a bunch of cancellations last week. So Fantasy Island cancelled after two seasons, which had literally just started airing in the UK, but that's season one. So at least there is another season of that to come. It's fine, that show. It's relatively low budget. I think it's a co-production with Sony, but they work it on a fairly low budget model. So like, although its numbers weren't great, there was some thought that that may actually be saved because it's not very expensive for them to make. But even that didn't save it after two seasons. So that has gone. Call Me Cat, which is the Mayim Bialik remake of Miranda, the British show. That's scraped through its first three seasons. And I mean, its numbers have not been great. And they kind of renewed it, I think, because of the fact that it's Mayim Bialik, who was on Big Bang Theory as the lead. But they finally put that out of its misery. And that's so that's gone after three seasons. Over at ABC, they've cancelled Big Sky after three seasons, which, I mean, that's a massive fall from grace because that was a huge show when it launched.
Yeah.
And then just really dropped off. That's gone after three seasons. I think the numbers have just tanked.
That first season was so good because I think it was in two halves or something.
The first half of the first season was so good. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, and then they introduced this like ranch sort of storyline, and that was like an odd attachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then season two, I think it was, they just introduced like three or four other things that were just, they were all right, but they were unnecessary.
Yeah.
And then never quite got around to, I mean, I don't know where the show is now, but I look back on that now and I think maybe you should have done that as like a one season.
Well, you
hunt,
see,
hunt for Roland type
I
of thing.
Think
or,
it was. I think it was planned as a one season show, and then the numbers got so big that they sort of extended it, which is why that first season feels so disjointed, because it was sort of supposed to wrap. I think after that first season, you know, after that first half of that first season, they kind of written that as a self-contained thing, and then they got asked to do more and they were like, oh okay then, and sort of scrambled to put a story together, and that's why it feels a bit all over the place, and it never really recovered from that, unfortunately. So I mean, it made three seasons, but that is no longer coming back. Alaska Daily and The Company You Keep have both been cancelled after one season as well. Alaska Daily's numbers have just been terrible. Company You Keep, I think, was Milo Ventimiglia's show. They thought that might survive because of the fact that it was Milo in the lead, but that has gone as well. Over at CBS, they've done most of their cancellations and renewals, but there were a couple of things left behind, and that was True Lies, and there was a show called East New York as well, which was a procedural cop thing. Both of those being canned after one season. The numbers for True Lies were diabolical. East New York, it was between that and another show, which we'll go on to in a minute, and it lost out, basically, in that battle. And CW cancelled three things, which was Kung Fu, which I think had three seasons. They've decided to end that. Winchester's, which was the Supernatural spin-off, and Walker Independence, which was the spin-off from Walker. So three seasons of Kung Fu, and then the other two were on their first seasons. So all three of those have been canned. I think they're trying to ship them round to other places, but I don't necessarily see them landing anywhere.
Mm.
So CW's always been a little bit up in the air because of the Nexstar takeover thing that all happened last year. They're under new management, and the new management is ditching a lot of their scripted content in favor of buying in cheap sort of UK, Canadian foreign imports. And on top of that, they're like upping things like reality TV and also sports like golf and stuff. So I don't know what it's supposed to be in terms of, because it was always a teen channel and it's clearly not that anymore. So it's
so they got a new person in charge then?
Yeah,
I guess.
Last year, because they were originally owned by Paramount and Warner Brothers, and then last year they were sold to Nexstar because Paramount and Warner Brothers used to run it at a loss. It was designed as a shop window to be able to put these shows on, which were then sold to places like Netflix in the US afterwards. And they made the money back by selling the shows on and also selling them internationally. That's how they made money. The channel itself was running at a loss. The problem is that now you've got Paramount Plus and you've got Max. They don't really need a broadcast channel to be able to showcase drama. So it was sort of surplus to requirements. So they decided they were going to sell it off. And the people that bought it need to actually make money out of the network. And that means a wholesale change of the programming and to making the programming a lot cheaper, which is what they're trying to do. So that's why they've ditched a lot of the scripted shows. So, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. It just kind of sucks if you're a fan of the content that was on the CW, you know.
That's quite the swing going from DC stuff and the 100 and Supernatural to go from reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of those audiences cross over, but still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, if we flip onto the renewals, they have renewed one show, which is Walker, the Jared Padalecki series. They've renewed the main show, even though they cancelled the spin-off, but that's renewed for a full season. I think the only other thing they've renewed up until this point is All-American. And the only reason they've renewed All-American, because I think that was part of the contractual sort of deal thing when they bought the network, was they needed to give that show another season. It was sort of tied up in the whole process. So they've only really renewed Walker, which sort of makes sense because it sounds like they're going for a slightly older demographic rather than going for a teen audience. And Walker is a kind of cowboy show, basically.
Right, right. So
it sort of makes sense that that's the show that they've renewed. In terms of other renewals, over at CBS, this sort of happened on the Monday after we recorded the show. So I did actually record a little insert to go in. But SWAT got uncancelled from being cancelled last week, which is unheard of. I mean, that just doesn't happen. We've had shows that, like Magnum, for example, which were cancelled at CBS, but moved on to NBC because NBC made the show. So they went, oh, we'll just air it on our own network. It's incredibly rare for a show to be cancelled and there be such an outcry about the show that they then go, actually, we'll give it a final season on the same network. You know, I mean, we've had things like Manifest, for example, which was cancelled at NBC, but Netflix picked it up. So you have those sort of things which are saved by a different channel or network or streaming service. It's very rare for an actual network that cancels a show to change their minds. And that's what they did with this. So it's renewed for a seventh and final season. But that was the show that was basically the ratings were almost identical for SWAT and East New York. And I think the renewal of SWAT got East New York cancelled by the sounds of it. I'm glad to have SWAT back, even if it is only for one final season. But it felt a little sort of bitter, the fact that they'd cancelled that without giving them a chance to wrap it up properly, given that Sherman Moore, who is the lead on the show, had basically said that, I mean, he raged at them and basically was going, you know, you were telling us until literally the week before it was cancelled that we were going to get renewed. And then you cancelled us. You know, that's not okay. So thankfully, they've kind of changed their mind on that. So SWAT is back for a final season. Digman, which is an animated comedy that's airing on Comedy Central here and Comedy Central in the US, which is part of Paramount CBS. That's been renewed for a second season. That's Andy Samberg, I think, is voicing that show. That's been picked up for another season as well. Over at NBC, they have renewed one thing this week. That is Lopez versus Lopez for season two, which, I mean, that has horrendous ratings as well. It's George Lopez and his daughter. It's a sort of fairly bog standard family sitcom. Ratings are terrible, but NBC seems to have a policy of not cancelling sitcoms in their first season and at least giving them two seasons to try and find a footing. So that's been renewed, even though it probably shouldn't be. No renewals this week on ABC, because I think they've done quite a lot of their stuff. They've got a couple of things left outstanding. Fox renewed a thing called Animal Control, which is a Joel McHale live-action comedy. So that's been renewed for a second season. That's not aired over here. Walker, as I said, renewed on CW as well. There was one UK renewal, which is The Outlaws, the Stephen Merchant series. That's been renewed for season three on the BBC. Interestingly, in the cast list, when you read through it, there's no Christopher Walken listed in there, who's been in the first couple of seasons. I don't know whether somebody like missed him off or whether he's just not in that third season. I don't know. But he was notably absent in the cast list. Did you watch any of that? I watched the first season. I haven't caught the second
one. I went to a couple of times, but never sort of did. Just that I don't click on some BBC in it. I just don't click on BBC that much. So.
Yeah. Looking through all those shows, actually, the cancellations and renewals so far, I mean, Fantasy Island does air here, but only just started airing. Big Sky, Alaska Daily technically do air here. True Lies does air here as well, but all the other stuff doesn't. So from a UK point of view, I mean, we've skirted round quite a lot of them. And I mean, a lot of those are one season shows as well. You know, I mean, True Lies was on its first season. Fantasy Island, technically second season, but it has only just started airing. And Alaska Daily was the first season. So we've not lost a huge amount from that.
Not too bad.
Yeah. There are a number of things still MIA at the time of recording. This may change over the next couple of days, even before the show goes up. So CBS have done all their cancellations and renewals. So everything is sorted. If it's on a show on CBS, it's either been cancelled or renewed. Fox have one show left, which is called Welcome to Flatch. That's the US version of This Country, the British TV show. That is still hanging in the balance. We don't know which way that's going to go. CW have three shows left. There's Superman and Lois, which they haven't renewed or cancelled, Gotham Knights and All-American Homecoming. The suggestion is that if, and it is a big if, they are going to renew any of those, it's likely to be All-American Homecoming to run alongside All-American and one of the two DC shows. Now, out of those, given that Superman and Lois's ratings are a lot higher than Gotham Knights, you'd think that Superman would be the shoo-in for that. But Superman and Lois is a lot more expensive than Gotham Knights to make.
It looks it, yeah.
Yeah, we've only seen bits and pieces of Gotham Knights because that's not airing here. But I mean, from what we've seen, Gotham Knights looks more sort of Arrowverse-y level, whereas Superman and Lois does seem to have had a lot more money spent on it. So there is another possibility in that if they want to keep Superman and Lois around, it may get cancelled on the CW but shifted across to Max. And then Gotham Knights gets renewed on the CW. So that's one possibility. I mean, it may be that they just can all of them, because the other thing you've got to factor into that is you've got the new James Gunn, Peter Safran, DC stuff happening, yeah, and whether they want either of these shows in there muddying the waters of that.
That's a good point, especially considering he's writing and directing the new Superman film.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he'd look at Superman and Lois as sort of getting in the way of that.
Yeah, and I mean, from a numbers point of view, the numbers would justify them probably saving it and moving it to Max. It's just whether it fits into the overall plan or not, or whether they're prepared to just run it as an Elseworlds thing and still have it out there. Gotham Knights might get renewed on CW, but I don't see that getting moved across if that is the case. Don't know exactly with those. We'll have to wait and see. CW isn't doing an upfront this year, so there's no rush for them to cancel or renew anything necessarily. CBS actually isn't doing an upfront either, but which is why they've announced all their cancellations and renewals, and they've announced some new shows as well, which we'll come to in a minute. But that's why CBS, of all their stuff, is already cancelled. Over at ABC, they've got three shows outstanding. Not Dead Yet, which we were talking about earlier. The Connors and Rookie Feds. So those three still don't have an answer yet. NBC has three shows. They're all kind of comedy side. One is Grand Crew. One is American Auto, which is from the Superstore guys, and Young Rock as well. There's been no news of. So don't know which way those three will go. Again, the numbers are a bit all over the place for some of those, but it's whether they decide they want to bring those shows back. I mean, the other issue you've got as well, of course, is the writer's strike is still on, and that may affect things that get picked up and renewed, because I think sometimes they feel better the devil, you know, which I think was part of it with SWAT, actually, was a case of SWAT was the bigger brand and it's easier to keep that show around and get them back into production relatively quickly, I think, was the thinking behind bringing that back, rather than trying to launch a new show, you know, from the ground up. There was a certain amount of that, and things with the writer's strike, as we were talking about in detail last week, may affect what gets picked up and what doesn't.
That American Auto, I saw a trailer when I was watching probably Barry or something, because I found out it was from the Superstore writers, which is also the Office writers, or some of them anyway.
Yes.
Because it sort of went from one show to the next, which I enjoyed both those shows. I think it was like streaming season three soon. I wasn't even aware of the show's existence until then, but that looked kind of decent. I saw there was some similar cast members as well from Superstore. Kind of an odd thing I've noticed on Sky, they play all their trailers muted.
No.
as well. So, because I was watching Barry yesterday, and sometimes they do like themed trailers. One of the trailers they had was like shows about tough survival and stuff. One of them was Last of Us, and then there were two other sort of crime shows or something. But no, well, the trailers are always muted. Very strange.
Yeah, you're watching that on, is that on Now? You're watching that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sky thing. So, but American Auto looked kind of interesting, but I guess I'll wait to see if it gets renewed or not. Yeah. I think the first, because they said that the first two seasons are on Sky, and the third one, I think the third one's coming soon or something like that anyway. So,
yeah. So there are still a number of things outstanding. Like I say, by the time this goes up, because we're recording this on Monday, some of the upfronts this week, NBC and Fox are actually today. Disney are doing an upfront tomorrow. That's Tuesday, 16th. And I think Warner, Netflix are doing upfronts on the 17th, on Wednesday. So there should be a bunch of new shows announced over the next few days as well. And we may get some more of these cancellations and renewals. So we'll see. In terms of some pickups on other news, we have now got air dates for Law & Order Organised Crime and Law & Order Special Victims Unit. So Organised Crime coming on the 22nd of May at 10 p.m. Special Victims Unit coming on the 23rd of May at 10 p.m. The slight issue with this is Law & Order, the main series, isn't airing in the UK at all. And those opening episodes are part of a three-part crossover, which ends with the main Law & Order series. So that's a bit of a problem.
Happening more and more.
Yeah.
Because it happened that time with Batwoman, didn't it? And then there was there's a couple of other shows you've mentioned over the years that like been a crossover of three or four episodes, but one of them's missing because the show's not been picked up or becoming an annoying regular recurrence.
What's particularly weird about that main Law & Order show not being picked up, though? It's a revival of the original series. So, and it came back last year. So we're actually a season behind anyway from the revival. So this is the second season of the revival. But it's really weird in that Sky air literally every other Dick Wolf show, because Dick Wolf is the person that's behind all the Law & Orders, all the Chicago and all the FBI franchise. And even though they're on different networks in the US, Sky Witness airs them all in the UK. The only Dick Wolf show that they don't actually air, which is, you know, a regular procedural, is the main Law & Order series. So I don't know why they haven't picked that up. I don't know whether it's maybe it's gone to somebody else for some reason and they just haven't announced it. Although, as I say, we're already a season behind. So that seems weird if that's the case. Maybe they're asking an astronomical price for it and it's just not worth the money to them. It's odd. It's really odd that like they literally air every other major Dick Wolf series except the main Law & Order. It's really strange. And I don't know why they've not picked it up, but they haven't. So it means the third part of that will be missing. Sorry. One thing they have picked up from the US is the Peacock series Poker Face, which is from Rian Johnson. It stars Natasha Lyonne from Orange is the New Black and Russian Doll. She plays a character called Charlie Kale, who has the extraordinary ability to determine when somebody's lying. She hits the road in a Plymouth Barracuda, and with every stop encounters a new cast of characters and strange crimes that she can't help but solve. So it's sort of a detective series, which of course, I mean, Rian Johnson was the person behind Knives Out and that set of movies. It's been it's been getting amazing reviews, this show. So everybody that's seen it is saying you really have to watch this series. Friday, 26th of May on Sky Max, Poker Face is landing. It's supposed to be very, very, very good. Natasha Lyonne is brilliant as well. She was great in Orange is the New Black. Russian Doll was superb. I'm really interested in seeing this. I could sort of see her doing this sort of detective thing as well. It's very much in character for her. So, I think this looks like it's really fun and sounds like it's got an awful lot of cameos from, you know, or people that come in, like high profile names that come in and do guest spots for each episode because it is a sort of, you know, crime of the week kind of thing. That looks like it's going to be a really fun series.
I think I'd seen a trailer for that at some point and then briefly forgotten about it, but now you've mentioned it, so it's really cool. This sounds perfect for her. You know, Russian Doll had a bit of a better first season. Obviously, the second season tried to be a bit more experimental, which is fine. Has that got a third season on the way?
No, I think they've ended it now.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, it ended well, so.
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, run things on too long and that. But no, it sounds like another really good gig for her. Like you said, Orange is New Black and Russian Doll, she was really, really good in. This sounds very good as well.
Yeah, so called Poker Face. It's 26th of May on Sky Max and on
the next week
now. Next week or the week after. So,
Soon.
Soon, yes. Jack Ryan has now got premiere date as well. That's coming 30th of June for its fourth and final season. That's on Prime video. Interestingly, they didn't mention the spin-off when they announced this, because there is potentially a spin-off coming from Jack Ryan, which follows a different character who's introduced in season four. But yes, the main Jack Ryan show, I think probably because John Krasinski's getting a little bit busy, that will be coming on the 30th of June on Prime Video. Forward to that. Have you watched the third one yet? Because you hadn't, I think, last time.
Yeah, I did. It was good. I didn't think it was as good as the previous two.
I think I saw
a Twitter page posted like a poster for this a week and a half ago or so.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, that's very soon. The 8th of June, because I was like, oh, it'll be end of the year or early next, you know, in about 6 to 8 months or something.
Yeah, yeah, because it was like November or something when the last one came out.
It wasn't that long ago. Yeah,
yeah, it really wasn't that long ago. So I think they must have shot them back to back. And great, I'm really enjoyed that series, so I'm glad that it's coming back. A couple of other big things coming back as well. Foundation, that returns on the 14th of July on Apple TV for season two. I really love the first season of this.
You cannot look at your phone while you're watching that show.
Because if you do that for
even 10 seconds, you'll be totally
lost.
Nothing
will make sense, yes.
Yeah, you really, really got to pay attention to that one. It's very, very rewarding if you do that. Mm-hmm. I remember when you was praising the show when it came out, and I'd sort of just gotten into Apple TV or something like that. And then I slowly, bit by bit, sort of watched it. Just got better and better and better.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of sort of mental focus and concentration to watch the show, but it's really, really rewarding if you do that. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, this will be, because I had just 10 episodes ready to go, this will be sort of, you know, paced out a bit more.
Yes.
It will be, I assume. I mean, they might put two or three out at the start, but they'll put it out week to week eventually. So
yeah.
How many seasons of that could there be? Because I'm not familiar with the
books either. There are a number of them, so I think it could go for a while yet. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's one of those shows that they'll do it for as long as they have source material, I think.
Yeah.
A show that's moving beyond its source material, actually, Good Omens also has a date. Season two of that, 28th of July on Prime for that. That's going to be an interesting one because the first one was based on the book. The second one is past the source material, but I think there was a bit of an outline that they'd worked out with Terry Pratchett before he died on what they were sort of talking about doing for a second book, and then they never got around to actually writing it. So it's sort of Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett's ideas, and then Gaiman's actually turned it into a bit more of a series, fully formed thing to make the second season. So I'm very much looking forward to that because Michael Sheen and David Tennant are hilarious.
Yeah, it'll be somewhat skeptical in terms of what it will be, but I trust that the people that are doing it, and certainly the people that are in the show, to do a good job. I mean, you know, Michael Sheen, David Tennant, they don't really let you down, do they?
So, no, never.
even if it's just on a video call episode of TV.
Yes.
which they have done.
Yes, those stage things are possibly some of the funniest things I've ever seen do. I mean, they really are hilarious. All three seasons are up on, if you go to ITVX Premium, because they're actually technically part of BritBox, I think. But if you get an ITVX Premium subscription, you can watch them on ITVX. Moving on to some new shows which are coming. Well, new-ish, some of these, because there are sort of remakes and continuation series. But CBS has ordered three things to replace some of the stuff that they've cancelled. There is a Matlock TV series, which, I mean, Matlock is... Are you even aware of the name Matlock? I don't know whether it means anything to you.
Well, the first half of it is part of my name, but no, no.
Matlock is a TV series from 80s, I think, was originally sort of out. The original Matlock ran for like 193 episodes. So it was a huge procedural legal mystery drama thing. That was the original show. They're now making a new version of it. It was a male lead in the original series, and it's going to be Kathy Bates as the lead in this one. It's a complete reboot. She's a septuagenarian, Madeline Matty Matlock, who achieves success in her younger years and decides to rejoin the workforce at a prestigious law firm where she uses her unassuming demeanor and witty tactics to win cases and expose corruption from within. So it's inspired by the classic television series, and it's got Jason Ritter in there as well. Leah Lewis is one of the characters. It's written by Jeannie Snyder-Ehrman, who wrote on Jane the Virgin. It's one of those that I think is going to be a pretty much by-the-numbers legal procedural dramedy series in the vein of your sort of Columbos or your Bulls or those sort of things. But Kathy Bates is a fantastic actress,
yep.
And I think the setup is fun enough. The idea of it's sort of an unassuming older person that's kind of solving these crimes. It's not exactly original. I mean, clearly, because it's based on an old TV show, and it's, you know, but even in that, we've seen this sort of thing happen numerous times before. But I still think this has some potential to it.
Sometimes in this case, though, a more basic show can be uplifted by an actor who's, you know,
yeah,
got some good talent. So, yeah, Kathy Bates, who I've seen, what I've seen her in most American Horror Story things.
Probably, yes.
Which, you know, aren't the most serious things, but she's still very good in those. So, yeah, she may be able to uplift the more basic aspects of the show, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, multi-award winning actress, been in a whole bunch of movies. Misery is the thing that I always remember before with James Caan. And, I mean, if you've not seen that film, go watch that film. It's incredible. Fantastic actress. And I can see that working. So that's Matlock. Obviously, no UK air dates for any of these. They've been picked up by CBS, so hopefully they'll land over here. The second thing they've picked up is a continuation series. It's called Elspeth. It's Carrie Preston reprising a role from The Good Wife and The Good Fight as Elspeth, an astute and unconventional attorney who, after a successful career in Chicago, utilizes her singular point of view to make unique observations and corner brilliant criminals alongside the NYPD. It's basically taking that character from The Good Wife, The Good Fight, and moving her to New York and basing a show around her. Got Wendell Pierce, who is also in Jack Ryan, actually, but he is also starring in this. It's from Jonathan Tollins, who is serving showrunner who worked on The Good Fight, and it's also written and exec produced by Robert King and Michelle King, who are the people that were behind The Good Wife, The Good Fight, and also Evil, randomly, as well. Basically, The Good Wife, The Good Fight team on another show.
So have all those shows finished? The original bunch?
Yes, the original ones are finished.
So this is a spin-off continuation?
Yes.
Or revival, as you could call it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, spin-off continuation.
It's a bit like 24, Live Another Day.
Yeah, sort of. Kind of. Following a different character, because I think she was a side character in one of the, I mean, I've never seen the other two shows, so I'm not entirely sure,
yeah,
but
I
think
she was any of them. So. Yeah,
I think she was a side character and he's now going to be the main lead on it. And the third thing they've picked up is called Popper's House, which is standard traditional multi-camera sitcom. It's from the Wayans family. So it's Damon Wayans Sr. as the legendary talk show host and happily divorced Popper, who has his point of view challenged at work when a new female co-host, played by Essence Atkins, who was in Marlon and the First Wives Club, is hired, and at home where he finds himself still parenting his adult son, which is played by his actual son, Damon Wayans Jr., who is in Happy Together and New Girl, a brilliant dreamer who is trying to pursue his passion while being a responsible father and husband. From Kevin Hench, who worked on Last Man Standing, who wrote the pilot with Wayne Sr., and it's basically the Wayans family producing. So if you're a fan of the Wayans family, I mean, it's entirely their project, essentially. I mean, it sounds pretty much like a straightforward sitcom. It depends if you like that sort of humour.
Well, as I've kind of said a few times, we don't have as many multicam sitcoms as we used to.
Yeah.
I really like that format, and it's very sort of straightforward and classic, and, you know, has birthed a lot of classic, you know, things like Friends, How I Met Your Mother, all those kinds of things, Big Bang Theory as well. Okay, not everybody's a fan of all those, but I like those shows.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who that person played on New Girl, because I really like
New Girl. Coach, the one that sort of in the pilot and then disappeared and then sort of came back a little bit later.
Yeah, he was a bit in and out of the show, but still a very good character. So this might be something I pick up, because I'm after more of these kind of shows. Obviously, I'm trying to work my way through How I Met Your Father as well.
Yeah.
So we just don't really, we still get comedies, you know, and, you know, comedy TV shows, but this specific format, I'd say in the last 5 to 10 years, we haven't had as many new ones. I mean, things like, you know, Two Broke Girls went off the air, Big Bang Theory finished. And even with spin-offs like Young Sheldon, that's not the same. Okay, it's a spin-off of that show, but that's not the same format. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, what do you think of kind of the state of these types of shows?
I mean, they are still out there. I think it's a difficult format to pull off, and particularly in the wake of things like Kevin Kenneth himself, which sort of exposes that kind of multi-cam thing. I mean, that was genius, that show.
Like to see the second season if AMC ever wants to show it to me.
Yes, if somebody ever actually wants to pick up the second season of that, I would very happily see it.
Definitely.
Because that was a brilliant show in that it was based around the idea of a multi-cam sitcom, but what happens when the camera sort of leaves the room and follows, and what it would be like to actually live with those people.
Yeah,
so it's a mixture of multi-cam and a single camera. Just superb, that. You then go and look at that and sort of exposes what that kind of format is. But I still think there is a place for it. And I think it's just a very difficult thing to pull off successfully. I mean, for your Friends and your Big Bang Theories, there are an awful lot of just run-of-the-mill, so many of those sort of multicam things that have been kind of kicking around. And I mean, I think there are more of them in America that just haven't aired over here because they're just not very good. But they're relatively cheap to make as a sort of base level, I think, because it's a bunch of standing sets in that, you know, you're not filming a bunch of things on location. You're in a studio filled with the same sets every week. You know, they're cheaper things to make, I guess, but they're just a very, very difficult thing to pull off and make well. So
yeah, we'll see what this one's like.
Yeah.
So, these are all of the series, these three?
Yes.
So
Matlock, Elspeth and Papa's House, those are picked up as a series. They're on CBS. We don't know where they'll land over here or if they'll land over here, because, I mean, you'd think they'd land on sort of maybe Paramount Plus, because we have Paramount Plus over here and CBS is part of Paramount. Mm-hmm. Automatically go to that, but that doesn't seem to be how it works. So, I mean, sometimes it's because they're done with an outside studio and, you know, they Paramount doesn't have the international rights. But even when they do have the international rights, they sometimes make more money selling it on to somebody else. So,
yeah. Wasn't it supposed to be that like NBC shows are picked up on Sky and there's also the Peacock thing, mm-hmm. which they've sort of dropped, but never really quite.
Yes. Not officially, but unofficially have dropped. Yes.
And then the CBS, which used to be CBS All Access, which started like Discovery and that.
Yeah.
Is which now is Paramount. Plus.
Yeah.
So yeah, those should work that way, but I suppose it's not always the way that works.
Yeah, no. I mean, so it's just because in some cases the international rights are different, but in some cases it's literally there are shows that are made by NBC that rather than doing a deal to put them on Sky, they make more money selling them to somebody else. Mm. Internationally, so they sell them to somebody else. And it's the same with Paramount. It's just the way of it. Unfortunately, they don't automatically come across. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We've got Heartland, which is a Canadian series. It's set, a family drama set in the rolling foothills of the Rockies. That's returning for its 16th season. That's on Netflix on the 17th of May. Also, the 17th of May, Abbott's Elementary returns for the second half of the second season. That's on Disney+. The Shy returns for its fifth season. That's 17th of May as well. That's on Disney+. And on the 18th of May, there is a new show called The Last King of the Cross. That's a limited series coming to Sky Max 18th of May at 9 p.m. Inspired by a best-selling book, the Australian drama follows John Imram's rise from a poverty-stricken immigrant with no education, no money and no prospects to Australia's most infamous nightclub mogul. It's a limited series and that's coming to Sky Max on the 18th of May at 9 p.m. called The Last King of the Cross. Primo, which is an Amazon freebie series coming on the 19th, coming-of-age comedy from New York Times bestselling author Shay Serrano and Emmy-winning producer Michael Cera, about a wide-eyed 16-year-old being raised by his clever mother, Dre, and his five overbearing uncles. The fact that it's Michael Cera behind it, who was the Good Place person.
Lots of good stuff, yeah.
And lots of other. So called Primo. That's coming to Amazon Freevee, and that's on the 19th of May. As we mentioned earlier, Law and Order Organized Crime, third season of that lands on the 22nd of May at 10 p.m. It's followed on the 23rd at 10 p.m. by Special Victims Unit. And also on the 22nd, The Conners returns for its fifth season. That's on Sky Comedy at 8. So that's all the stuff coming next week. If they want to find more information about your stuff, where can they find you?
You can head over to entertainmenttalk.org or look for the same name on your podcast platforms for TV, games, films, main night podcasts. Been trying to get out to review Guardians 3, but I was not as well at the weekend, so I'll be reviewing that soon. It's obviously the big finale to all of that. And James Gunn's last Marvel film before he goes over to DC. So, but we're still doing Gaming Talk. There's going to be some showcases coming up soon, so we'll be talking about all that. And obviously there's Ted Lasso, which I think has been very, very good this season. I think it's been his best season so far. And if you want to see more of Anna Waddington, you would have seen at Eurovision. She's doing very, very well over on Ted Lasso. So that's been very, very good. United cast heading towards the end of the season. Got a few games left of the league. And then, of course, that little FA Cup final against Man City. So got that. And that's my stuff at the moment. And also, if Real Madrid could beat Man City on Wednesday, that would be very, very, very helpful. So yes, because we don't want City winning the treble. That would be very very, very bad. But anyway, that's my stuff. You can also follow me, let's say, between Mondays and Wednesdays on Twitch at eTalk UK and on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. The Twitch thing I'm referring to is the career mode stuff. So that is me.
Good. So go and check Matt out over on entertainmenttalk.org. For other people involved in the show, you can find Bex over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's BYTES. She has also been ill this week, actually. So she, I think he's back up streaming this week, but yeah, she's been off last week because she wasn't feeling great. twitch.tv/TristaBytes, BYTES for that. And Daryl, you can find at hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch for your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post, find us at geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.